Chapter 13. Around a few corners, the group enters a room that has a deep fire pit in the centre, with a hot bed of coals smouldering at the bottom. Spreading out around the fire pit, the group forms a circle and sits down with their legs crossed. A metal bowl suspends above the coals by rods sticking out of the ground with wire connecting them. Landon pulls a branch with dried clumps of flowers attached to it from a bag. This is Ayawabis. It comes from a far-off land to the south, and is only grown at a few select places on the island. It is a sacred plant that must not be misused, so we keep it secret from the outside world, Landon says to Thomas as he brings the branch of Ayawabis into the light of the hot burning coals. Pulling a clump from the branch, Landon places it in the metal bowl, and it instantly begins to smoulder, with smoke rising from it. Travis covers the bowl with a lid that has a few strategically placed holes in the top, and smoke begins to flutter out of the bowl and waft around the men sitting around the fire. Thomas shifts his legs to make himself more comfortable as he stares at the fire pit and the smoke encircling him. Travis, William, Troy and Landon are sitting up straight with their eyes closed, taking deep, concentrated breaths. Thomas mimics the others and straightens his posture, concentrating on his breathing. They all sit in silence while the smoke grows thicker in the air. Thomas keeps his eyes shut, feeling the smoke tickle his throat and lungs. When Thomas opens his eyes again, he sees that the other four now have their eyes open, staring into the burning coals. The coals offer little light, and the room of the cave that they are sitting in is very dark. Feeling thirsty, Thomas finds his water pouch in his bag, uncorks it and takes a big drink. As if contagious, one after the other begin retrieving their water pouches and start guzzling as well. "That is long enough for young Thomas," says Landon after a few minutes, and they all rise to their feet. Feeling tired from the long day of travel, and relaxed from the warmth of the fire and smoke, Thomas slowly rises to his feet. In single-file order, they exit and head back toward the lookout room. Still thirsty, Thomas takes out his water pouch and drinks more as they walk. "The birds are eagerly on the hunt tonight," Troy says, walking over to a hole in the cave wall and looking out at the forest. No one has a response for Troy as he looks out the window, appearing to not expect one. Thomas walks over to a hole that is close to the one Troy is looking out of, and gazes across the boulder field and the canyon walls. Along the ridgeline to the west, Thomas sees a shadow dart down and out of view. Troy looks over at Thomas and winks an eye at him. Troy's gestures make Thomas suspect that he just saw a wolf. "Wolves are more active lately too," Travis declares to the rest of the group. Hearing the name of the beasts sends a shiver up the young prince's spine.
"They'll have it out for His Majesty," Landon says with a chuckle.
Thomas isn't amused and doesn't offer as much as a smile in response to Landon's words. "He is a wolf," Troy states with certainty, looking over at the young prince. Thomas feels emboldened by Troy's remarks and smiles as a reply. "Once they realise Thomas is part of our pack, the wolves will accept him into the mountain," announces William, placing his hand on Thomas's shoulder. "The lad has proven himself able to live in the forest. He is brave, strong and smart," Troy says. Feeling embarrassed from being placed at the centre of the conversation, Thomas shuffles away from the group. The subject matter changes to rope maintenance throughout the overlook area. Sitting down by himself on the other side of the lookout room, Thomas's attention fades from the group of men talking and shifts to his own thoughts.
"Deep breaths. I love you, Thomas."
His mother's words wash over him with a loving warmth. Thomas's eyes begin to feel heavy, and his head nods forward, jolting him back awake. The other four men stand talking, while looking out over the boulder field through the holes in the wall. Thomas's thoughts again drift to his family back in his castle. Visions of playing with his father and their people in the mines of the mountains in his kingdom enter his thoughts, as well as other areas of commerce throughout the realm. The king regularly helped with various tasks when he had free time. Thomas would accompany him to the docks and help with fishing boats as well. Every spring they would have to remove fallen trees from roads and plant crops in fields. Then, the scene shifts to a more ominous setting as visions of ransom leading him through a secret tunnel system under his castle, to the cliffs above the crashing ocean waves enter his mind. Feeling tormented, Thomas lightly groans but not loud enough for the others to hear. The scene in Thomas's head changes
and he is running through the woods with Ransom as multiple arrows rapidly land in the head guard's chest.
"It's up to you now, lad,"
Ransom declares to Thomas as the head guard falls to his knees before the rest of his body hits the ground. Suddenly, everything goes dark, and Thomas begins to feel his heart beat rapidly. Hearing his breathing quicken, he realizes that he is now running through the dark woods alone at night. Wolves begin to howl from somewhere close, causing Thomas to experience absolute terror. Reaching for a tree, the scene changes, and he is now in an enormous field of wildflowers, with nowhere to go to escape the ensuing wolf pack. Exhausted from running so much, Thomas stops and hunches over with his hands on his knees for a second, before whirling around to face the approaching wolves. The pack begins to circle him, snarling and snapping their jaws viciously. Incredibly horrified by his impending demise, Thomas's breathing pattern becomes erratic and shallow as he fights with all of his might to control his shaking body. Falling to his knees, he quivers violently with his arms folded tightly across his chest, looking to the ground.
"You belong, son. You belong."
The king's words ripple across Thomas's mind, and then the pond of his thoughts becomes still. Blank nothingness leaves a void in Thomas's brain as he feels his heart beating at a relaxed pace. His lungs slowly expand to full capacity as he draws in a deep breath through his nose and releases it out of his mouth. Feeling completely calm and relaxed, Thomas opens his eyes to see that he is back in the lookout cave, with Troy and William curled up on beds nearby. Laying back down on his bed of animal hides, Thomas sprawls out, stretching his body on his comfortable bed and shuts his eyes, quickly falling back to sleep. When Thomas opens his eyes the next morning, the sun is there to greet him in the early morning sky. Yawning and stretching his arms up in the air, Thomas looks over and sees Troy and William still asleep. A few moments later, Landon walks into the lookout room from where the fire pit was. At almost the same time, Tucker enters the lookout from the opposite direction.
"You slept long enough. I know last night was a cause for celebration, but we have much to do," Landon says, lightly kicking William in the leg.
William groans, rubs his eyes for a moment, and then kicks Troy.
"Wake up,"
William says as Troy stirs awake from the blow.
"You'll pay for that one, mate,"
Troy says to William in a groggy voice as he sits up. Thomas climbs to his feet and urgently looks around for a place to relieve himself.
"I see you dancing around over there. Go past the fire room and you'll see where you can take care of your bowels and bladder,"
Travis says to Thomas with a laugh in his voice. Quickly, Thomas darts out of the lookout room and toward the fire pit room. After turning a few corners, Thomas ends up in a room with the fire pit. Urgently needing to tend to his business, he doesn't stop to look around and quickly passes through and into another tight passageway. After feeling his way through the cave blindly, he eventually comes to an opening that descends down a few feet. Crawling down farther, the smell begins to become more apparent. Coming to the end, Thomas sees light from outside filtering in. An opening in the floor that Thomas could easily fit one of his legs through shows a straight drop of more than 150 feet to the boulders below. Thomas does not waste any time and instantly begins relieving his bladder. His stream lasts a long time because of all the water that he had downed last night. As his stream lessens to nothing, a shiver runs down his spine from the great relief of letting his bladder drain. Securing his clothes back to their ready position, he turns and leaves, heading back to the lookout room. Passing through the fire pit room, Thomas hears the voice of the four men talking. Entering the lookout, Thomas hears Landon say,
"You and Troy take the boy out the back way and patrol the east."
Troy and William nod and turn to see Thomas approaching them.
"Well, we're off again,"
Troy says to Thomas with a joking smile. Thomas nods, walks over to his belongings and begins packing them away. William and Troy do the same, and also grab a few extra pieces of climbing equipment from a sack. Thomas ties his bag to his back and follows Troy and William back to the fire room. Back in the fire pit room, William suddenly turns and begins scaling along the wall. Thomas looks up in awe, unable to see the foot and handholds that William chooses as the young man scales up and gets his hand on a ledge. Struggling a bit, William finally pulls himself up onto the ledge. Once he is secure in his footing, he takes off his pack and pulls out a rope. Connecting the rope to an anchor point, William drops it down to Troy.
"Climb," Troy says, holding the rope out to Thomas.
Thomas looks up at the ledge that William just scaled up to and takes a deep breath.
"It's only a 12-foot climb," William says with a casual tone of voice.
Thomas walks up and puts his hand on the rope, looking up to the top. Putting his foot on the wall and reaching up high on the rope with his hands, Thomas begins pulling himself up the rope. Quickly finding a good foothold, Thomas secures himself and extends his hand up the rope farther. Again, he heaves himself up and searches for footholds. Feeling a promising hold, he puts his weight on that foot and slips. Catching himself before he falls, Thomas wraps his leg around the rope for extra grip. "Put your left foot on this knob," Troy instructs from right below Thomas. Looking down, the prince sees the knob of rock and secures a solid hold with his foot on it. "Remember to breathe," William coaches from above. Thomas takes a deep, steady breath and searches for his next foothold. He finds his next option and makes a move, progressing up the wall another few feet. With great fluidity, Thomas marches the rest of the way up the wall, receiving a helping hand up from William at the top, and safely moves away from the ledge. "Good climb, lad," William says enthusiastically, patting Thomas on the back. "That's how it's done," Troy applauds from below. Thomas takes deep breaths, still recovering from the climb with the extra weight of his pack strapped to him. In what seems like a blink of an eye, Troy climbs up and over the ledge and unties William's rope. Handing the rope to William, Troy leads the group through a tunnel that they must duck to pass through. Thomas barely has to duck his head while the other two boys are practically bent in half, crawling through the low passage. After gradually climbing up the tunnel, Thomas sees sunlight coming into the cave. The sound of the wind outside grows louder with every step that they take up. Finally, they come to an opening that leads out onto a ledge. William goes first, followed by Troy right after. Once the older boys are out, Troy motions for Thomas to come out and join them. After a brief moment of hesitation, Thomas climbs out of the cave. Looking down, Thomas sees the boulder field below at a dizzying depth. Overcome with fear, Thomas closes his eyes. Then he feels someone gently turn him around, and he opens his eyes to see a small climb up some boulders, leading to safety. Feeling relieved, Thomas instantly begins climbing up towards solid ground. Without wasting any time, they make it up the boulders and away from the cliff. Thomas takes calming breaths, feeling very relieved to be away from the hundreds of feet drop that lay just behind him. Continuing to walk away from the overlook, they disappear into the forest and back into the thick trees. Squirrels, birds, and butterflies all pass through the forest over Thomas's head. The prince looks up to see what is making all of the commotion and sees two squirrels being chased away by crows. William pokes Thomas on the shoulder. Thomas turns to him and sees a piece of dried meat in William's outstretched hand. Thomas happily accepts the food and thanks him. After walking through the forest for quite a while, Troy comes to a halt, takes his pack off and sets it on the ground. William and Thomas do the same, pulling out their water pouches. After they have their fill of water, Troy says, "We're just about to the balcony." A few minutes later, they are back on the move. Soon after, they emerge from the trees back to the overlook, seeing a brand new point of view. Looking to the north, Thomas makes out where their lookout cave is, way off in the distance. "I'll climb up and store some of our equipment," William says while he walks over to a cluster of trees. Troy follows behind William and waves for Thomas to do the same. William hops up and grabs a limb, proceeding to pull himself up and into the tree. Disappearing higher into the thick branches of the tree for a few moments, William returns to the bottom limb. Reaching down towards Troy, lifting up his pack, William hoists Troy's bag up into the tree. "Now Thomas's pack," William says, pointing to Thomas. Thomas takes off his bag and hands it to Troy, who in return throws it up to William. He catches it and pulls it up into the tree. William hops down and they walk back into the forest.